Our scripture reading is taken from St. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with the 26th verse. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. When my father was first in the ministry, he was serving some churches in northern Minnesota. And one of those congregations, this was back in the early 1950s, in one of those congregations he noticed as he arrived that they only celebrated the Lord's Supper twice a year, which he quickly began to encourage them to get it up to at least to once a month. But he also found something else interesting. There were many younger people, younger families, even those that were up into their 40s and so on, who were not coming to take the Lord's Supper. And when he would talk to them about this, they would tell him that they didn't feel that they were good enough to be coming to this meal. They felt that it was reserved just for maybe elderly, pious Christians and so on. And my dad said to them, well, if that's the way you think about it, then you need to go more than anybody. That's exactly who it's intended for. There were people in the church in Corinth as well that we learn about in our reading for today and prior to this that Paul has to address because they had some misunderstandings about the Lord's Supper. They were not taking their preparation for this meal in the way that God had intended. And they were treating this sacred meal in a rather casual way and not preparing with sincere hearts of repentance. And for that reason, one of the symptoms of this is a weakness of faith. St. Paul says, there are many who are spiritually weak and sick among you, and some who are asleep. There's a spiritual weakness that had come across them. Here's the strange irony of the Christian faith. The way that you become spiritually weak and sick is by failing to admit that you are spiritually weak and sick. And the way to become spiritually healthy is to continually be reminded of your own personal sickness with sin so that you realize how desperately you need God's grace in Christ. Now, Christians are called upon in this world to make what we might call external inspections of sin in this world, to look out and view it and to recognize it and identify it. But the primary place for the inspection is internal. The primary place is to be in our own hearts. St. Paul says, if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. What he's saying here is this: if we would take the time to sift through our own consciences and our own lives and to take a personal inventory of ourselves, to do an appraisal of our own spiritual condition and see all of the weaknesses that we have, if we would spend our time being focused on that so that it causes us to hold on to God's grace in Christ all the more, then we will for sure avoid the condemnation that is going to be coming upon the world. And this is why God has given very specific commands when it comes to our preparation to take the Lord's Supper. St. Paul says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. This meal is a way that, as Paul says, the Lord disciplines us. He chastens us in our faith. And so we're not supposed to take it lightly. This isn't just some casual thing. As Luther says, this isn't child's play. Listen to how serious this is. Whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. He says you can eat and drink judgment on yourself if you don't come properly prepared. The primary purpose of this meal is to bring the sinner to this wonderful way that God now chooses to deliver his grace to us. The most sacred act in all of human history has been that God's own Son took on human flesh and chose to dwell in the flesh of the man Jesus Christ. And this very precious body and blood, true God, true man at the same time, this precious body and blood was then taken to the cross and nailed there to make atonement for the sins of all of humanity. And it was placed into a cold grave. And the same precious body then rose again 3 days later, glorious and victorious over the power of the devil. And God now has chosen to take this same most sacred, wonderful thing, the precious body and blood of his Son, and by the power of his word, take this very thing that has made full satisfaction for all of your sins, and by the power of his word, place it into this bread and wine that the pastor now brings to you, tenders in his hand before you, and places in your mouth. Imagine for just a moment a family of maybe three little children that go off to camp for a couple weeks in the summer. And one of the little boys of these three siblings, the little boy is feeling kind of homesick and feeling kind of sad. And as he left home, was even kind of concerned whether or not his mom and dad really loved him and so on. And his mom knows about this, and so she writes nice letters to all of the children and that they're to pass around to each other and telling them how much she loves them and thinks about them. But knowing in particular that this one little boy, her youngest son, is so homesick and concerned, she decides to also bake his favorite cookies. And a guest from their town is going traveling to the camp, hours away, and she sends it with him and tells him, gives him specific orders, bring it to my son, to this little boy, and I want you to deliver it to him, and I want you to tell him I love him, and I can't wait till he comes home, and to give him a hug for me. Now, it's the same love that she expressed to all of the children in her letters, but at the same time, it's received a little bit differently and more personally. God, in his grace, has chosen to send epistles and letters to the entire world explaining what he's done for them in Christ. And the entire Christian church reads and hears those letters of the forgiveness of their sins. But he takes that same love, that same grace and forgiveness, and has chosen to place it into this sacred meal, to come directly to you and to stand right in front of you through the office of the public ministry and to place this in your mouth so that you can, in a very unique and personal way, know of God's forgiveness for your many sins. Just think how powerful our Lord truly is, that he can defeat and continue to defeat the devil with just a little wafer and a little bit of wine. A friend of mine who's in the ministry told me that there was a shut-in that he would frequently go and see, and one day as she took that little cup from him and drank, and he was going to toss it in the garbage, and she said, "No, can I keep that, please?" And he said, "Okay," and gave it to her, and she pulled back the curtain on her window, and there were about 20 little individual cups laying there on the windowsill. And she said, "I like to look at them. They just remind me again of how much God loves me." How we as believers in Christ should long for this sacred meal and run to it as the great medicine for our souls that we need so badly. And every time we do this, we proclaim our Lord's death until he returns to take us home. Amen.